Welcome. It's SB Pod, Thanksgiving week. We're going to talk about sports. The most important thing we're going to talk about is the perfect plate.
Ooh.
What goes on it? What doesn't go on it? It's feast week. It's Monday. We've been recording Monday.
Nonstop. Just churning them out.
Yeah, but and nonstop's a good word for this week because I didn't remember, like, there's tournaments everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's Monday at noon and people are playing, and I'm like, how'd I miss the noon window? Was I supposed to have a side here? Because I don't. But it's just mayhem. It's everywhere. You got the Maui Invitational, which isn't in Maui again, which is a tragedy. Mm. This is a public service announcement. If your team, I want so badly to say, allow me to reintroduce myself, but we can't use commercial music on podcasts, so forget it. But this public service announcement has to do with the Maui Invitational. If your team is ever in it, you have to go. That's the rule. I didn't make the rule. I'm just telling you the rule. You've got to go. Lahaina Civic Center. It's just like you think it is on TV. It's in the middle of paradise. I went. It was feels like 100 years ago. Maryland was in it. Wisconsin was in it, which means Andy North was there. Gonzaga was in it, which means Neil Everett was there. It was the best. And Lahaina, the town of it, the whole bit. The fact that the Maui Invitational is being played and it isn't in Maui. Like, if you're on the list, I'm sorry, but that's so gross. I'm sorry. That's just bad. But there's lots of tournaments. Then we got Thanksgiving games. We got the perfect plate. It's a good week, Steve.
Absolutely. It's one of the best weeks of the year. Best of the year. One of the best.
This is very inside the Beltway, which is a regional reference here. I don't know what road it would be up there, but a quick shout to Ansonia Nogi.
Oh, big one this week.
Valley New Year. What do we got for people that don't know? The town Steve's from, which he's basically the mayor of, Ansonia, where he was a legend. That program, high school program, is traditionally great. You guys are always really good. Mm-hmm. You won the states when you were there. You're the benchmark program at your weight class, so to speak. Every year on Thanksgiving, for how many years you've played Naugatuck?
Oh, over 100.
That's insane. That's so cool. And how big a deal is it to Nogi and Ansonia?
Well, Ansonia's had the upper hand a lot of the time, but when Naugatuck has a team, it shows out. And they got this enormous hill on the side of them. They actually recently turfed the facility at Old Nogi High. I'm telling you, I would expect around 8,000 people at that game. It's 8-1 Nogi. They haven't lost, I believe, since week one, and undefeated Ansonia, who's won over 100 straight MVL games. It'll be awesome. And I don't know what I'm going to do. This is the first Thanksgiving morning I won't be at a game. Like, I stopped coaching for the moment. My nephew, like 3 years ago, he was playing. I went to his game. Like, I have always been at the Ansonia Nogi or a high school football game on Thanksgiving morning. I've never seen the Lions game on Thanksgiving in my life. Never.
Well, here's what we need. We need a stream for the big man. Somebody needs to figure this out and tell my man how he can see this game, because you need to see this game.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Somebody stream it. Figure it out. A couple years ago,
I can't trust any one of the 20 cars driving up from Bacon and Eggs at Norwood's at 8 a.m.
Because they're wrecked. They're already wrecked, and I'm guessing their grasp of technology is not the best to start with.
No, not good.
Not that they've had seven Bloody Marys to get their day started, but someone needs to get my guy a stream, and I trust you all out there, because last year when I said we needed some of those donut holes
from Lyman Orchards.
From Lyman Orchard, guess what? Somebody drove them down here like a drug mule. We got them. I don't know how. I don't care, but we got them. So somehow, someone needs to get a stream of the Nogi, Ansonia Nogi, let's say it correctly, game. What's the number? What's the bootleg number down there? What's the word?
I've heard from Pick'em to Ansonia -7. It's all over. It depends where your book is. North Valley, South Valley. It depends.
Well, what we got to me is an investment opportunity. We got a 7-point middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, numbers are flying around. Very, very hectic week. People will start getting after it Wednesday afternoon. Bally New Year's Wednesday night. For the first time, it'll be back and on. Shout out to all the bartenders in the Bally. They'll be making some good money. Remember, you can't tell people that they're cut off.
I don't know how it works down there. I'm not from that part of the world. But here's the coolest part about what you're describing. That's a big deal where you're from. And people, yeah, wherever you're listening, you've got your things, right? Every area has their things, their traditions, the what makes Thanksgiving week a special deal. And we need a stream for my guy. The order of topics here. Perfect plate. We'll get to last, even though it's the most important topic.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to start NFL because I this continuing trend of who's good. And I got on here and I was indignant about Tennessee. We need to get Vrabel on the blower. I was indignant.
No, we need to get Vrabel a raincoat.
Hey, what are you doing? You're out there like an animal. Like you're suffering like an animal. Get the guy a poncho. Jesus Christ, Vrabel. Put on a poncho. I mean, it's just like, is he squinting? This looks like Otis the dog on a race term. Like, man, I wish this would stop. Put on a poncho. But I have backed your guys because of your resume. You got the most bizarre resume I've ever seen. You beat all the good teams. You've now lost to the Jets and the Texans. I don't know what to do with you. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, people were writing their obit a month ago. All of a sudden, their defense looks like a force. And I don't know what the odds are, but I'm guessing that the AFC favorite's got to be Kansas City again, based on what they've been in the last 3 weeks.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I'll book your action, by the way, on anybody.
Yeah.
Because no one knows. But it's just I have to just own the fact that I was ready to fight anyone that wasn't going to buy Tennessee. And then they promptly went out in the pouring rain and got beat by the Texans. But that happened. And so you just kind of shrug and go, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
I wonder about Buffalo.
You should look at who'd they beat. They got a bunch of bad teams. They beat bad. They got trucked by the Colts. The Colts, by the way, are real.
Yeah.
Real, real.
Yeah. I'll take Frank Reich as my head coach.
I love him.
That guy doesn't mess around.
He doesn't blink. He doesn't care. He believes what he believes. Now, Colt fans, before you start pumping your fist in the air, I'm the same guy that told you Tennessee was good too. But I think the Colts do what, it's a cliche, but I mean, it travels. Their defense has been playing well. And Taylor's the best, arguably the best, most dominant player right now in the NFL in the last 6 weeks. It's just crazy. He's got like 13 touchdowns or 12 touchdowns in the last 6 weeks.
I wonder what the updated MVP odds are.
It's all quarterbacks and Taylor.
Oh,
it's all quarterbacks and Taylor. That said, a team that plays defense out of their minds right now and can run it and has won a bunch of games, and if not for an incredible CeeDee Lamb touchdown, which we don't talk about in overtime because it would have been the all-time weekend in history, but we don't talk about it.
Nope.
Where are you on New England? Because I respect your opinion as it relates to what you see from them more than I do most people that talk about it.
I look at this season as I still, like, go back to the beginning of the year. I look at the season win totals for numbers, right? Everybody's like, mm-hmm.
What was New England?
Right around 9.5 or 10, I think.
Okay.
But then everything's thrown off because we got 17 games now. So I'm like, oh man, like, how do you factor that in? So it was like kind of like eye-opening to see these numbers. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I don't know. But then you go back, and Buffalo obviously had all the upside and what they were, and they kept everybody. Got Emmanuel Sanders, who I liked in the offseason. And you know, you just thought of New England. And to me now, with the only one buys on each side of the bracket in each conference, it feels like it's just everybody has taken on this mantra of just get in the tournament and then, you know, figure it out. And to me, New England has, I mean, you talk about resume. I mean, everybody talks about college, you know, who has good losses. New England's got a bunch of good losses, and now they're starting to stack up the wins. And to me, in this league, if you're trying to tell me coaching doesn't matter, just shut up. Because look at the roster. Look at what he's dealing with. Look at the offensive talent they have. Obviously, they're built on the line of scrimmage. But what Mac Jones is doing is impressive, as I've seen week in and week out. Jacoby Myers finally got in the end zone, which is awesome. They got three bell cows of a running backs. Yeah. It doesn't matter who's in there. I love them all. No. And just give me Bill. Short week, it was like, all right, let's just go down to Atlanta, shut them down. We'll figure it out offensively, and let's get the hell out of there with a win. 25-0. We're on home.
That's the moral of the story right now. Figure out a way to win. Like Sunday, Cleveland, Baker Mayfield doesn't talk. He said, I'll be the first to tell you I played like you weren't great, but guess what? You won. Baltimore, you don't have Lamar Jackson. You lose the lead on a bomb from Dalton to Marquise Goodwin, but somehow you figure out a way to win. They got a lot of we figured out a way to wins on their resume, Baltimore. Mm. But you got it spot on. No one cares because this isn't resume. You don't have a playoff committee on Tuesday that's going to say whether you're 1 through 4. You just get a seat at the table, Atlanta Braves style. We don't care how we get in. We don't care if we have the worst record. We'll see in January. I'm interested, though, in what you said about Mac Jones, because you said what he's doing is impressive to you. And I've watched football my whole life, but I beat this into the ground, but I just think that someone like you who played it at a level you played it at, you see things maybe I don't. And I see a guy that doesn't throw the ball downfield ever. Like his first 20-yard pass downfield against Atlanta the other night got picked. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying he's not good. And I also think I'm smart enough to understand what he does well. And is it just as simple as saying he does what he's asked to do really well and they do everything else so well that he doesn't have to be Rodgers, Mahomes, whatever? Is that it?
To an extent. Now, you know, before the draft last year, I had a chance to talk to Sark, and I know a bunch of people that did his games last year had the same thing. And Sark told the same people the same is that every week they were able to add on. Mac Jones was like, give me more. I know this defense. We can attack it with this. I can handle this. You know, whether it's multiple reads on a play or something, you know, certain thing like that. Okay. And that's what I see. It's sort of a little evolution. And, you know, their backs are against the wall against that game against Dallas that we don't want to talk about. They throw the ball down the field. They take the lead where nobody thought they were in the game, and they still end up losing. So the ability to do that, but they're not built for that. They don't have any game breakers at wide receiver. But you see them. I go back to the Cleveland game. They go down 7-0, and he just made throw. I think it was some crazy amount of play. Was it like a 15 or 18 play drive to start the game? And like every third down, it was as good as you could see. 3rd and 5, let's get our matchup and let's go right out. Whether it was Henry, whether it was Myers, they just moved the ball. He knew exactly where to go with the football, and that's what I see. He's not hanging on to the football. He's not taking sacks. And then when they give him a leash a little bit, he throws the ball down the field against Atlanta, throws a pick. All right, we're done. We're going to win this game with defense, and he's fine with that. And I think he shows how coachable he is, and I just think of the buy-in. You know, is it do your job? Bill always says, like, you just have all those guys. And I go back to the opt-outs he had on defense. All those guys are back now, Hightower, all the way down the line. And they just know how to do. And it goes back to so many times when you talk to guys that played for Belichick, hey, we're just going to hold on until the other team screws it up. And it's so true because it happens all the time in this league. And they just see New England just stay on that line, and good things happen.
Three things Belichick values the most: tough, smart, dependable. You've heard me mention it. I heard him mention it. And I always filed that away. It makes a ton of sense to me. You could be the most talented guy in the world. If you're not tough, if you're not smart, if you're not dependable, he's got no use for you. And I think Jones comes out of Alabama and he's all those things. And, you know, they got a ton of talent. Judon, arguably red sleeves on defense, has been the defensive MVP of the league. He lives in the backfield. They're a unit right now, right? They're a wagon. In the AFC, Kansas City's flipped the script. Buffalo looks a mess. On the NFC side, Colt McCoy, bless his heart, goes on the road twice in 3 weeks and gets division road wins. Speaking of looks a mess, Seattle's as bad as they've been under Pete Carroll, which is really, that creates a lot of interesting conversations about Russell Wilson in the future and all the rest.
Yeah.
But I the teams I'm really interested in, and maybe I'm alone here, I think Minnesota's interesting. I think San Francisco's interesting because I think you talk about teams that if they figure out how to just get in, I think those are teams that could win games in the playoffs.
And win games on the road, which you're probably going to have to do.
Yes, both those things.
Yeah.
And if you're bored as hell, just go look at Minnesota's, look at their week to week and look at how they've won and lost games. It's lunacy. Mm-hmm. They lost games they had no right losing. They've won games, frankly, I didn't think they could win, but they're in the mix constantly. And they just beat Green Bay, and they play, I think Minnesota plays San Francisco this week or next week. Whenever they play them, I don't think it's an elimination game necessarily, but mm-hmm. like those are teams like them, those two teams and the Colts, I look at and think if they keep trending in this direction, I think that there'll be teams that the teams that the with better records will want no part of playing because I think they're all built to win games that when it matters most.
Okay.
Okay. File that away. You got anything else? Any NFL topic, or can we pivot to college?
No, let's talk. Yeah, we'll do a little college. Let's talk life.
Well, we'll get to life. I want to know this, Stanford Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State's offense
mm-hmm.
versus Georgia's defense. What do you like better?
Over the course of a game, Georgia's defense.
I want to see it just because what Ohio State's offense looks like right now is preposterous.
Yeah.
And you and I were on here yelling however many podcasts ago about the first ranking and if Ohio State's behind ahead of Oregon, that it was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been because mm-hmm. at that point in time, they had played and they'd won. Teams are allowed to get better over time.
Yeah.
And what Ohio State currently is a wagon, man. Like Michigan State's defense, there was some smoke and mirrors there prior to last week. I mean, I want to say they rank statistically last in the nation in pass defense.
130. Okay. Yep.
Last. Okay. In the nation. And they looked it on Saturday in Columbus. That was the easiest, most ridiculous first half of football I've ever seen. At halftime, they had the same score with the top 10 team as Georgia had against Charleston Southern.
Correct.
The same score. And I'm laughing because I gave out Ohio State and winners.
No big deal.
No big deal. I went 4-4 this week. I'm not going to brag. But again, that was just lay them and laugh. But I think it would be wild to see them against Georgia's defense because that's just talent on talent. And I'd say that Ohio State hadn't seen a defense anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, Georgia hadn't seen anything like Ohio State.
Yeah.
Five-star, Wilson Olave, the guy whose name I can't say with a dash in the middle.
And
I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I always am afraid I get it wrong. They're a joke, man. And those two teams feel like maybe collision course, but you got Bama that's got something to say about it in the middle of it.
And that's what I wanted to say. It's a joke if Ohio State is behind Alabama. It's a joke.
What, this week?
Yes.
Mm.
Come on.
I agree.
I mean, put them too.
I agree. Well, I mean, they certainly look it. I mean, listen, Georgia's best win is Arkansas. Because Arkansas, like, how good's Arkansas? Well, I mean, Alabama took all 60 to get rid of them.
Yep.
They didn't when they went to Athens.
No.
Okay. They got obliterated in Athens. So that's Georgia's best win. What's Ohio State's best win? Well, I guess it's Michigan State, even though we just told you they have the worst pass defense in America. And I mean, the Penn State win is, you know, that's a, okay, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, just look at what you're, when you're watching them play, what do they look like?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's more impressive.
You want to talk eye test? Their eye test is that. Having said all that, like all the eye test stuff, I'll tell you right now, little Thursday lean, little winner's lean, you know I'm going to have Michigan. That might be the GPG game.
Who's a better play caller, Ryan Day in real life or you in NCAA football?
I thought about that because, no joke, I thought about that as an analogy. Because when it's 2 in the morning and it's the year 2062 and Maryland is just opening up a can on somebody and we're running a little bootleg and then we run a little toss and we go option. I score whenever I want, you know? But if we're being honest with ourselves, I got a couple of plays I lean on when I need to score.
Yeah.
I don't know that Ohio State ever goes back to the same thing. Maybe they do, and I just don't recognize it. I don't understand how I got fives wide open, twos wide open. Here's this freshman running back. He's good. We got a few different guys. We'll pass. Oh, by the way, the tight end's a pro. We don't really throw it to him much because we don't. Why get 8 yards when we can get 48 yards? it's a machine right now. And I go back to what Herbie told us before the season started about how dynamic they were going to be. And then it was Stroud. It took him a while.
Yeah.
And there were people. I mean, I feel like Columbus was grumbling a little bit, right? The Tulsa game was closer than people wanted it to be, and they're like, I don't know. They wanted Ewers or whoever else was in the quarterback room. Well, we're good. You guys good now? Everything good?
I would give the edge to Coach Day just because I think he's putting in more time during the week. You see more of a guy that's going to be in the in-game changes and just figure it out on the fly.
Nah, I'm just going to run night.
Preps a little better.
I'm going to run 93Y option, and I got verts everywhere. That's a fight song play right there. Okay. But it looked, I mean, they scored touchdowns on 7 straight drives against the top 10 team, and none of it looked difficult. Nothing about it was, there was no stress. There was no 3rd and 5 where you thought they weren't going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Michigan State was going to give Mel, I don't know, did they do it? They're supposed to give him $95 million? Like, all respect to Mel Tucker. He's a coveted name. He's well-respected. Job openings down south, people like love to get Mel Tucker. Well, Michigan State doesn't want to lose him. But you're going to give him 95? You're never going to be better than that team of Columbus. Never.
Yeah, we got the Extension Bowl coming up Saturday, I think, in East Lansing. Franklin's supposed to get an extension at Penn State, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Possible Extension Bowl in East Lansing. Big one.
A couple weeks ago, I was telling Florida, like, yeah, you guys sure you want to do it? Well, then you went and lost to South CAC and Mizzou, and that was the end of that. The thing that's interesting, and I mentioned this on the show, is that at USC, LSU, and Florida, 3 of the 10 best jobs in America, whatever the list is, however many numbers there are, lists aren't my strength, as well documented.
Correct.
Well, whoever gets those jobs means that big-time jobs are going to open as a result of that, I would guess. Although you hear Florida, like, looking at Napier, maybe somebody's going to hire that guy out of Louisiana.
Heck yeah. That's my guy. Give me that guy.
Okay.
Home run.
For Florida or for anybody?
I would like to see LSU hire him. I like the mix there.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. But my guess would be that some big time names move on for those jobs, which open up other significant jobs. As you always say, buckle up.
What do you think gets the Akron job?
I don't know about that. Probably a coordinator, a little rising star in the coordinator space. I don't really. I'm not that plugged into who the Zips have on their short list.
They probably got to wait for a couple dominoes to fall too.
But that's what you do.
Yeah.
Just wait for some dominoes to fall. Cincinnati gets into the playoff. Yeah.
No, I don't know yet.
Oklahoma State is the thing that you are worried about.
I still think Cincinnati can lose.
I understand. Hold on. Cincinnati's in the top 4 this week.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
I'm not penciling them in.
Okay.
In my head, I get a date with old Hoagie now.
He's coming up to Stores this week. Imagine him walking around West Hartford.
Where the hell's where's Brico, Van Pelt? Give me a table at Brico. I got you, Hoagie. I'll get you a booth at Brico. Get the artichoke app. Trust me. We got to send him there. Walk in his visor and a quarter zip. only West Hartford people know what I'm talking about. But just if you guys picture Holgerson walking in there that on a Friday night. That would be spectacular.
Jeans and some cowboy boots.
He's ready to go.
Visor.
That's a scary game, man. That's a scary game. Because the weight of carrying all of that with you, if you're Cincinnati, knowing that you can afford zero missteps, that's got to get heavy. You know, that has to get heavy over time. But I'm rooting for Fickell in Cincinnati because the hell with it. And this year, there's no bigger conference program that I'm dying to see in there. And if Oklahoma State crashes the party, good. I want something new. I want somebody new in there.
Gundy, why don't these SEC schools call Gundy? Imagine him in the SEC. Whoa.
He's going to make sure the Oklahoma State administration thinks that people are calling him. That dude, all he has to do is look sideways and the ghost of T-Boone Pickens is like, hold on now. We got another bag for you.
There you go.
They're not letting him go.
It's our boy.
They shouldn't. I mean, all he does is win 10 games every year or more. And they've had a hell of a year.
Can't wait for that game Saturday night. Cannot wait.
I like old Pistol Pete.
Ooh, favorite. What will you watch more of? All right, let's move forward to Thursday, okay?
Yep.
We'll get to the play. What will you watch more of, Saints, Bills, or the Egg Bowl?
I'm really interested in the Egg Bowl, but I'm not going to. It feels like the right answer, but I know. You know me, fantasy. I got too many things. Yeah. I got too much in play.
Okay.
Josh Allen's my quarterback. I've said it. I can't believe what I've become.
But a little 100-timer on the Egg Bowl wouldn't make you watch that a little bit more.
Come on, Steve. That's tip money. It's tip money. All right. Give me a number that's like going to make my blood pressure change. I'm kidding. I don't throw big money around. It's all for fun. It's all just, you know, bleeps and giggles. But I'm interested in that just because, and we said this last week, like when Leach and Kiffin went there, it was all ha ha ha. This is, look at these guys. Both those teams are better than they've been. I can't say it like Mullen had it going there for a while in Starkville. Yeah. But that's a fun game.
They hate each other.
That's so great,
man. They hate each other.
Nothing better than actual rage hate.
Nothing.
A rivalry. Like respect and all is good, you know.
Yeah.
Army, Navy, beat Army, beat Navy, sing second, the whole bit. But there's like, these are people you stand next to in battle, and there, at the end of it, there's absolute respect. Ole Miss and Mississippi State, it's f you. No. You. How about that? And you know what? That's my kind of rivalry.
Yeah. Fired up for that game.
What goes on a perfect plate, Stanford Steve?
All right, let's start with the meat. Turkey?
Yep.
Mashed taters?
In our family, it's twice baked. Bake the potatoes, scoop it out, do some sour cream, some butter, some salt and pepper, put it back in there, throw it in. So, yes, potatoes, yes, but we go twice baked in our house.
Okay. Sweet potatoes.
Pass.
I knew that was coming. Stuffing.
I'd like a ruling from the judges.
Oh, boy.
Taylor, you're new here. You need to weigh in and you need to
wake up. Wake up, Taylor.
You need to weigh in correctly. Stuffing is the bread and celery and whatever cooked inside of an animal's carcass. And then I guess you put it in a dish or something. Stuffing is that same ingredient, but it's cooked in a, like a little dish in an oven so that there's a little crunch and there's that whatever else. Dressing. That's what we would call dressing in my house.
Okay.
Where do you weigh in, Taylor, on dressing versus stuffing?
I'm pro dressing, but I do think there's a little bit of a dance you have to do in terms of, are you having like biscuits or bread or some cornbread? You don't want to have too much carbs on your plate. I feel like that can weigh you down a little bit. So I am pro dressing, but you have to be careful.
Hey, carb police.
Hey, yeah. It's look at me. Do I think I'm counting carbs on Thursday?
It's Thanksgiving, all right? It's gluttony.
It's right, on, but what about the dessert? You don't want to be held back from some delicious pie and some ice cream.
Or no one gives a shit. I'm not held back by anything. I want bread. I want rolls. I want dressing / stuffing. And then I'll have pie. I'll get to what pie I'm not having in a minute. And that's fine. You're sort of pro-dressing. But let's go back to the question. Stuffing, for me, it's a no. We do dressing, but that's a yes. So far on my plate, we have the twice baked, we got the turkey, and we have the dressing.
Any veggies? Any corn? A little green bean casserole, maybe? Mac and cheese?
I'm very pro corn, but, and this is going to shock you, Steve, it's a very specific kind of corn. It's called shoe peg. It's like a white corn. It's a little sweet, very delicious. Shoe peg corn. Okay. That's on my plate.
All right.
The green bean casserole. Some people do it with like the little onion drizzly thing on top of it.
Yeah.
That's great, but not on my plate.
Cranberry sauce?
Pass.
Me too.
By the way,
anything cold on my plate.
Thank you. And I don't want anything that's going to bleed into the gravy and give it an unpleasant sort of hue. All right. Here's my plate. That first plate is the turkey. It's the potato. It's the dressing. It's the corn. And I'm done. And I go gravy times a billion on that plate so that it's like a moat of slop. And then I pepper heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever gets... See, that's a thing where anything can get on anything and it's a win. And again, this is where you say, wait. There's no this, there's no that, there's no the other. The second plate is for all of this other nonsense that somebody's aunt's recipe or somebody's mom's whatever made. And you're doing the no thank you bite anyway, but you want to politically, you're doing the right thing. And then that second one is for that. That's fine. Oh no, this is cranberry, but it's got like orange zest in it. Oh, that's great. My mom does. She's not listening to the podcast.
No,
I don't want the orange zest thing. I just don't.
Good.
I don't want fruit. I want meat and gravy and just like the amount of sodium, enough sodium that could like put me in the dirt. So be it. Like I'm going out correctly and happily, but that's my plate, man. It's boring. Yes, but that's what I want. So that's my plate. Your plate sounded like it included some other things.
No, I'm with you. Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, stuffing, turkey, maybe a little green bean or corn, and then gravy all over.
Like a lot of gravy, right?
Scott, I went grocery shopping today, right? With the gravy. It was like, I think it was whatever, 2 for $4. I think I bought 10.
There you go.
We're going to, Grant, we will not run out of gravy at the house.
Mom does the homemade gravy. You take the turkey juice, they do the flour, you mix it. It's like it. And then the beauty of the gravy is when it starts to like solidify and you start imagining it trying to pump through your aorta and your veins. And you're just looking at it going, there's a sludge-like consistency to that. Like, it can't be good. But I gotta tell you, like once a year, that's such a win. Now, here's where I gotta know about this. Because there's people that will go ham additionally. Where are you on the ham?
Can't. I could eat ham any day of the year. I need the turkey and gravy. I get it. People, turkey, it's a little dry, but you know what else you do? Don't dry out your turkey.
Thank you. Cook your turkey correctly. Just take it out of the oven. There's like those little pop things that don't cook your turkey for 12 hours, man.
Yeah.
Like it's not the Griswold family Christmas. Take it out of the oven and make sure that there's, check it. What kind of juice we got? We got enough stock here. We're going to be able to make buckets of gravy for Van Pelt and Steve. Yeah, that's right. There are people that do the ham as well. I just think, and that's great. I respect it. I just feel like it can get in the way of what the focus needs to be, or at least my focus. Now, I have to tell you something I hate, Steve. Run it. Production. Here we go.
Steve and I have lengthy lists. Talking about this guy or this thing or this whatever. once a week, one thing a week.
Here's what I hate.
I hate pumpkin pie. Okay? I hate it. Now, I don't hate you. If you like it, eat it. Okay? Enjoy it. You want to put some Cool Whip on top of that? Homemade whipped cream, ready whip? I don't care. Whatever you got. Dive in and have it. I hate it. Now, this is where in your head out there, you're going, well, you've never had my pumpkin pie. You're right. And guess what? I never will. And if it's your grandma's recipe, bless her heart. Bless her heart. I don't care what she puts in it because I'm not eating it because I'm not going to like it. You want to know why? Because I hate it. I hate pumpkin pie. I hate the consistency. I hate the smell. I hate the whole thing. I hate it. I'm not eating it. You like it? I love it. But I hate it. And that's what I hate on Thanksgiving is pumpkin pie. Okay. You got anything you hate, Steve?
I do. I want to stay on this, though, because... All right, so let's go to dessert.
Yep.
What do you, because I, no one has what I have for dessert. And I'm going to tell everybody what to do for dessert because I'm going to blow your mind.
What do you got, like fudgicles or something?
Oh, no.
Okay. We'll do a, there's like a pecan pie that's involved. And then every now and then you'll get like a chocolate pecan pie, which is a whole other deal.
Okay.
Caramel and whatever else. That is, now that's living right there.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of really, the pecan thing is sort of the main one that I can think of. We used to, that's a Christmas thing. There's a dish yeah, called black bottom pie, and it's custard whipped cream. And then the bottom is like chocolate pudding and like ground up ginger snaps. And that's the bottom of it is black bottom pie. And okay, this in my family made me an outcast. I don't really like it.
Okay.
I don't really like it that much. I like the bottom. I don't like the custardy part in the middle. So that kind of makes me an outcast in my family. Don't hate it, just don't love it. But again, that's Christmas time. So I feel like really dessert is the main focus in our house is mostly the meal. The after, because you know what? Maybe it's because they're eating pumpkin pie because they make it. But yeah. I'm just out seething with rage because I hate it so much. Stanford Steve's Thanksgiving dessert is what?
When everybody's eating dessert, excuse yourself from the table. And that's when you go get a little digestion. Watch the Cowboy game. Relax. It's the only quiet time you could have. Okay. There's kids involved. Everybody knows how that deal. Go get yourself a little half hour, 45 in front of the TV, away from everybody. Take it all in. When everybody gets up from dessert, find your way over to the stove. Take some of that gravy, throw it in a pot. Okay. Now get some more turkey and throw it in the gravy and get that baby nice and hot. Nice and hot. Get over to the toaster oven. Get a couple Hawaiian rolls. Throw them in the toaster oven, okay? When those are toasted, you take the turkey out of the gravy on the stove, heat up a little stuffing. Got about 3 or 4 Thanksgiving turkey sliders that'll make you go crazy.
Dessert.
That's what you eat for dessert on Thanksgiving.
Taylor's worried about carbs earlier. You just made a stuffing king. You just made a stuffing King's Hawaiian toast slider dessert tray.
Correct. And it's the best part of Thanksgiving.
No argument. Again, here's the beauty of it. Since there'd be like a flashing light here, a sincere moment here. Whatever you're grateful for, be grateful. The gratitude of family, if they're here, if they're not, the memories of what it was. Because we've all got, hopefully some of both, right? And it's a phenomenal time. I think of the people that aren't here anymore. I think of the Thanksgivings we shared. We're a late eating family. You're an early one, right?
I like to go early. Yeah.
Okay, like lunchtime early or like give me a time frame.
I'd say
frame.
Three o'clock.
I got no argument with anybody.
3 o'clock.
That's what I was getting at with the sincere bit is whenever you do it and whatever's on your plate. And if you like pumpkin pie, like I said, great. Dive in and get yours.
Absolutely.
We're late. And I think it had to do with the fact that Washington would occasionally play on Thanksgiving. Mm. There's a story I tell on my buddy Kevin Sheehan's podcast every year of when the Cowboys came back and beat Washington 74, a guy named Clint Longley came in out of nowhere in place of Roger Staubach and threw two touchdowns. My grandpa had a heart attack. I thought the Cowboys killed my grandpa. They didn't. But my grandma and them are getting dinner together. And like literally we sat down and ate. He's in an ambulance on the way to Sibley Hospital. My grandma's like, yeah, he's going to be all right. You guys sit down and eat. And we did. Like what kind of animals are doing that? But we were like, yeah, we're hungry. You know, Cowboys just took a dump on a plate, put it in the oven and said, happy Thanksgiving, Washington fans. But our dinners are always late and still are. Like it gets dark early now, but we're eating when it's kind of dinner time, not late dinner, but early dinner. So I feel like there's people that eat super early. You sound like you're right in the middle.
Yeah.
I feel like we're on the later end of things, which makes it way harder to go in for that bonus King's Hawaiian dessert you just talked about, which sounds delicious, by the way.
Just
do your kid. How many King's Hawaiian rolls could your kids eat? Just raw. Just like oh, M&M's, am I right?
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah.
Like the whole tin, easy.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It's they're like whatever, Tic Tacs. Yeah. They just mow through them.
It's so delicious. There's a sweetness on it. So good. So good.
Really good.
You said you had something you hate, Steve.
I do.
Are we going to end this thing of gratitude and sincerity and you're going to hit them with, but you know what?
No.
Oh.
Because I have something I hate and I have a big question for you.
Okay. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
I hate pumpkin pie and Steve hates
the idea of what happens when I try and listen to music on my music thing now. And Bruno Mars.
Hold on. What's a music thing? What are you talking about?
When you're listening to music in your car on your i thing, your shuffle or your iTunes, whatever.
Yeah.
If I want to listen to Silk Sonic, new Bruno Mars, right? Great album, talented guy. The group is incredible. When I want to just listen to it straight through. It never goes straight through. It skips. So then when I put it on shuffle, I hear the same song and two songs later. Why doesn't it work? It never works. Go put your music on shuffle. I have whatever, 1,000 songs. I'll hear the same song like 10 songs later. It's not a true shuffle. Fix that.
Come on, Apple.
Come on.
His music thing is doesn't.
We be want better. Some,
be better, Apple.
Be with better.
The music thing. He wants variety, not the same song. Every three songs, tighten your game up.
People out there know what I'm talking about because it happens to them too. We got to get this fixed. All right.
Well, I'm glad.
Here we go.
Got that on your chest. What's the question?
Big life question.
Okay.
All right. Thanksgiving. We're coming. Yep. We're going. We got Thursday. We got Friday. When do you send out your Christmas cards?
They've been ordered.
Okay.
This is now guys that are younger than us that you're still out there in the game. Mm-hmm. I just mean, you're out there living solo life. You're like, what are you even talking about? Let me tell you something. you're going to know someday. This is important stuff.
Yep.
Hey, look at this card. Look at it and be invested in that card because it's important. And when it comes time for the labels and she wants the dresses for your friends, get them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And don't blow off. I'll get it later.
No, nope.
Get the addresses. Cause those are going to go out post Thanksgiving, pre week one, because they should start arriving in time for that card to be displayed prominently in your friends' homes. And then you can have a room full of pictures on your all over your door jams of other people who've done the same thing. It's what happens. This is what happens when you get married. So yeah, our stuff's going out pretty soon. I've seen the card. I feel like there's some lovely photos of the kids. And how about you?
Same deal.
Yep.
Are you on the Christmas card anyplace?
Steve, I'm the famous one, buddy. Come on.
Ah!
I hope people are laughing and know that I'm joking. When it comes to our squad, when it comes to our squad, the kids are the famous ones because they're lovely kids. There's one group shot.
Okay.
There's one group shot that establishes here we are. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it is all the kids and Otis the dog.
Okay.
So there's, yeah, just once, as it should be, just so people have some clue. Because otherwise, it's just, you know, oh, there's three more kids. Who the hell are they? Oh, there's the family. There's the parents. Because I guarantee our card ends up in a lot of people's houses that I don't know. They're friends. Mm. They're my wife's acquaintances and people that I met somewhere along the way. And
oh, you don't send out the cards?
I help. I put them in the envelopes and I do the mail thing. I'm not an absentee card person. All right. I participate.
Okay, good.
But I mean, like, you know, a little bit. All right, last quick thing. Programming note. This is the last thing. Last thing of this very important podcast. We're not getting on a chopper to Piscataway. Noon, Dirty Terps at Rutgers. Whoever wins goes to a bowl. Oh. And traveling difficulties. Can't get it. Chopper. Very high demand for choppers this weekend with, you know, the Thanksgiving. Couldn't make that happen. So we'll be watching. Go get them, Terps. But don't look for me and Steve at the Rutgers game at noon on Saturday.
One rule, though, because you're doing some moving around, okay? And I feel bad. There's nothing I feel worse for this weekend than that poor ball that you hold watching games with, because that thing is going to be getting gripped like no other Saturday.
I got a baseball. It's like a stress ball. And if I need something in my hand, and so, yeah, that I may squeeze the stuffing out of that thing before 3 Eastern on Saturday. Just need one, fellas. Just need one. Get to the quick lane bowl. Play
and we're going. We'll take the chopper there.
What's it? Chopper to the MAC team bowl game. Probably not, but maybe.
In and out. Quick.
Double-double. Fries are better than people say they are. Eat them when they're hot. That's a pro tip. That's the end of SV Pod for this week. Have a happy Thanksgiving week. If you like pumpkin pie, that's great. Enjoy it. I don't. Fix the apple shuffle for Steve.
Try my dessert.
Try Steve's dessert.
I know you're going to.
I love King's Hawaiian bread. I got to add that to the list. This is the greatest podcast we've ever done. I hope you've enjoyed it. See y'all next week.